This AfriCast is sponsored by F5 and Westcon Comstore. Resistance to the cloud is often laid at the feet of security, but with the surge in cloud apps and the growing demand for cloud infrastructure, security can no longer be an excuse. With F5 secure cloud architecture from Westcon Comstore, you can secure your multi-cloud environment and not break the bank doing so. A secure cloud with the ability to adapt to continuously evolving environments is an F5 cloud. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lotz, and joining me today is Clinton Matos.
Hello, everybody.
And Robin Lichetti.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit cold. I thought that spring was on its way, but apparently no, we get another cold front in Johannesburg. I firmly blame Cape Town for that, even though you have no control over the weather. It's your fault that I'm cold
today. Cape Town.
Right. This week we have it's a sponsored podcast, as you will have heard at the top of this podcast, sponsored by F5. We'll get to that in a little bit. But before that, we're going to go through some news of the week. Clinton, you are up first. What's been making news for you?
Theaters are coming back. At the time of recording this, it will be around a week until they open up again on the 28th of August. So Stercynical has released some details about how it will be opening up under the new lockdown rules. So come 28th August, 31 cinemas around the country will be open. And then a little while later on 18th September, 21 more cinemas will open up. So there's going to be quite a few. And there's going to be a few movies on offer, but the two big ones are Tenet, however you pronounce the name of that movie, the new Christopher Nolan joint, and Mulan. So we are actually getting those movies, and the US aren't. It's a bit more complicated than that. Mulan's being released on Disney Plus in the US, but in certain countries it's getting a theatrical release. And then overseas, Tenet is being released in some countries, in some theaters, but it's being released in the US at a later stage. So we are actually getting both theatrical releases before the US, which is strange, and it's really cool. I'll have full details about all of that. I just want to mention that, of course, there's new safety procedures in place. So, for example, if you go try book a movie, you'll see you cannot book two seats next to each other. Even if you're going as a group with two people and you know that both of you are not sick, that doesn't matter. You guys cannot sit together, which is very good. And there's other things, like there'll be less movie screenings every day because there'll be more time between movies for them to clear in the theater. When you go, they'll take your temperature. There'll be absolutely no transactions done on premises. You have to pay for your tickets and your popcorn before you arrive. You have to be wearing a mask, and you can only remove your mask temporarily to have your popcorn and your slushy and whatever else. So yeah, we will actually be, we'll be at one of the first showings, I'll be, and I will report on what it's like. It's going to be strange to go back to the movie theaters after what's it been, 5 months.
Yeah, best of luck.
Yeah, I don't want to be you, Clinton. I don't know why you would want to go watch a movie in this. I'm too scared to go and get a cup of coffee at this point.
Oh, I do see it. But anyway, I'm doing it for the people. I'm going to go see how it is, and I'm going to write the story, let people know what it's like. I won't be doing it for Mulan, though. Anyway, so that's the theaters opening up. At the time of writing, only Stercynical has announced how they'll be opening the theaters. I don't know about New Metro. They'll probably have more information soon.
Cool. Robin, you've got some news about Airbnb.
Yeah, so Airbnb, I guess over the past couple of weeks, have been preparing to go public. So they initially launch an IPO, but now as you have to disclose this to the public and be transparent in terms of your dealings, they have now confirmed that they are readying for an IPO. The precise date as to when that's going to be happening isn't known as of yet, but it has disclosed all the necessary details to the Securities and Exchange Commission in the US, which is better known as the SEC. Mm-hmm. The reason why we're kind of covering this as a news story is that it's quite interesting, purely from the fact that Airbnb is of that kind of startup nature that really kind of disrupted the hotel and accommodation industry in much the same way that WeWork disrupted co-working spaces and office spaces in general.
Yeah.
The reason why we also kind of highlighted this story is the fact that WeWork kind of everything went very south after their IPO.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. There were several details that emerged as people started to dig deeper into their financials and to their internal operations. Whether or not the same thing's going to happen to Airbnb is unclear at this stage. But like a lot of companies, they've suffered greatly as a result of COVID-19. Anyone that knows Airbnb knows that their business model is home rentals.
Yeah.
And with people not being able to travel, that obviously becomes untenable. So it should be interesting how they try and market the business to potential investors. I know that they've updated their forecast for earnings in 2020. It was initially meant to be around $4.8 billion, but now it's projected to be less than half of that. That said, the company was privately valued at $31 billion last year. So there is potential, say, post-COVID-19 for the company to flourish. It just, to my mind at least, the IPO seems ill-timed given the current state of affairs. But I guess I'm not paid to make those kind of big decisions. People at Airbnb are, so best of luck to them.
Yeah, I'm worried about this because around the same time last year is when WeWork filed their IPO, and we all know what happened then. Adam Newman.
I was just about to say, hopefully they don't have
Adam Newman.
Let's take charismatic, a mercurial CEO like that in place.
Right. So today, the next my news story for today, I was actually going to, I had plans to talk about Showmax Pro and DSTV's online streaming thing. But then that evening, which was Wednesday, Experian revealed that, Experian South Africa rather, revealed that it had suffered a data breach that affects as many as 24 million South African citizens and 793,749 South African businesses. This is a big deal. To give you an idea of what happened, a person, a fraudster, we don't know who they are, purported to be a legitimate client and fraudulently requested services from Experian. The services involved the release of information which is provided in the ordinary course of business or which is publicly available. So, in simple terms, somebody called up Experian, said, "My name is X, I want this data," and Experian seemingly handed it over to them. This is a very big deal. The South African Banking Risk Center is involved. The Banking Association of South Africa is involved. And the South African Reserve Bank is involved. All of them have been notified. And yeah, this is a pretty big deal. But what is very worrying is since Experian disclosed this data breach on Wednesday evening, it's come to light that the firm knew about the breach as far back as 22nd July 2020. But then they only went and met with the information regulator on they approached the information regulator, rather, on the 6th of August for a meeting, which is very peculiar, especially if you read the Protection of Personal Information Act, especially Section 22, which says that a company must disclose the unauthorized access of data by an unauthorized person as soon as possible, unless, of course, they are told not to by an authority, or if disclosing that information would put the investigation at risk. So it's unclear whether that is the case here that caused this delay, but it is very, very worrying. As far as Experian goes, I think the best that they have offered us is go to mycreditcheck.co.za to check that your credit profile is correct, and that you aren't a victim of identity fraud or identity theft. It's just really, really bad. And the response from Experian has been very lacking. To give you an idea of how slow this response is, SABRIC, the South African Banking Risk Center, released a statement before Experian had. An experience thing, while the CEO does apologize, it's so lacking, especially for something as big as this. I mean, this is what the CEO, Ferdi Pieterse, said, "I would like to apologize for the inconvenience caused to any affected parties. Our first priority is to help and support consumers and businesses in South Africa." However, Mr. Pieterse, this statement kind of flies in the face of what is happening, because Experian is not reaching out to customers. Banks and other financial institutions are reaching out to customers, which kind of also flies in the face of what Poppy says, in which you, the company that is affected by this breach, have to notify people who have been affected. We fired off a large number of questions to Experian this morning after struggling to get hold of their media department for the last 24 hours. We finally got hold of somebody, and we fired off a whole bunch of questions to them. As soon as we have more information and whether they answer those questions, we will update our website with news. But this is really bad at the moment. It feels to me sort of like the Equifax breach that happened in the US a couple of years ago. Clinton, yeah, you wanted to say something?
I just want to ask, can you just repeat how many million people were potentially exposed?
It was 24 million South African citizens.
To put that number into perspective, the entire population of the country as of 2018 was 57 million.
Mm.
So that's nearly a large half. Amount of the population. What's that, like 40-something percent, almost half?
So yeah. Pretty much anyone that has a credit profile is at risk now.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, and the best that we've been offered is go and check your credit profile. I mean, Robin, you wrote a really nice piece yesterday about what you can do, which I think we'll link to at the bottom of this post. But all of this is putting onus on you, the person that had no say in what happened with their data. And I just feel like this is happening far too often. Just this week on Monday, Momentum Metropolitan announced that it had experienced a data breach. I mean, Liberty's been breached. All of these companies have these breaches, and then they just go quiet. But yeah, it's just bizarre that this keeps happening over and over again. And I mean, we don't even know what data was potentially at risk yet. And that's even more of a concern, because I don't know what I should be looking out for. Like, should I be worried that somebody's going to call my phone and act like my bank with all of my personal information, being able to ask me security questions that I am able to answer? There's just so many questions, and what must you do? Kind of at the mercy of what happens next. And whoever this fraudster was that pretended to be a CEO. And that's even more concerning. It's just, the longer this goes on, the more I speak about it, the more issues I come up with. So yeah, we'll continue to provide updates as we receive more information. But it's a bad situation at the moment, folks. But yeah, let's get on to something a little bit happier. We spoke to Dario Bowers from Westcon Comstore and Samir Sahil of F5. Robin, do you want to take us into that very quickly?
Yeah, so we had a kind of discussion with regards to businesses' cloud strategies, different approaches, what is working locally, what isn't, and kind of getting the insight from Westcon, which is a local distie, and then F5, which kind of facilitate their process as far as solutions and services go. And yeah, and both Dario and Samir were able to give us kind of insights as to what their local dealings have been to date, and what the landscape is going to probably look like moving forward.
Yeah, so we're going to cut to that interview right now. If you are interested in DevOps as well, we touch on that during that interview as well. So we'll be back in just a second. Cloud security solutions are notoriously bloated, difficult to manage, and nearly impossible to scale. But not with F5 Secure Cloud Architecture from Westcon Comstore. Whether it's public or private cloud, managed services, software as a service, or even platform as a service, F5 can deliver while maintaining an adaptable and secure application infrastructure environment. It's not just an app, it's a security framework built for the cloud. A secure cloud is an F5 cloud. Hello, everybody. My name is Brendan Lotz. Thanks again for joining us today on the AfriCast. As we mentioned a little bit earlier, we have something a bit different for you today. Joined on the line by Robin Chetty. How are you doing, Robin?
Yeah, good and yourself?
Good. So one of the things that we've noticed since COVID-19 and lockdown, rather, became headline news is how businesses have sort of pivoted in a manner of speaking, seeing some new solutions come around, some new applications of technology. It's been really interesting to see. And one of the things that kind of allows that to happen is an agile business model and something called DevOps. Now, it's a phrase that I've heard many times, but to actually dissect it, I'm not an expert. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to chat to Samir Sahil of F5 and then Dorio Bowers of Westcon Comster. They're going to chat to us a bit about F5, what it does, what DevOps is, and perhaps why it might be good for your business. So let's welcome on Samir Sahil. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you, everyone. So Samir Sahil, I'm basically leading the cloud business for Middle East, Turkey, and Africa out of Dubai, French national. And my work is basically to help organizations in their digital transformation with what F5 provide in terms of security, performance, and data protection and monetization.
Fantastic. And then Dorio Bowers, tell us about yourself, where you're from.
Dorio Bowers, Commercial Director for Westcon Comstore Southern Africa. I oversee the Microsoft security and collaboration and networking portion of the business.
Fantastic. All right, so Let's get into this. Let's start with you, Samir. What exactly is DevOps? Perhaps you can overview of what DevOps is, because it sounds very complex, but what is it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, DevOps is something that you've heard a lot, I mean, nowadays. And it's a practice that combines development team and the IT guys. And the goal basically is to reduce the time of developing system or applications. So instead of every team that does its piece of work and then give it back to the other one to complete it, it goes on continuous delivery, which means every instance, both IT and security have a say and can provide the development that the application needs. And that's basically something that most of the big organizations and company are following to achieve high software.
Okay, so I mean, it's something that you say, I kind of wanted to touch on that, because it is something that you say big businesses are kind of adopting. But I wanted to ask, perhaps from a African point of view, where businesses are a bit smaller, where their needs are a bit more niche, or the needs that they are meeting are a bit more niche, is it something that is suited to businesses of all sizes, or is it specifically for larger businesses?
Yeah, very, very good answer. And I think DevOps have been kind of mainstream now. As I said, it's a set of practices. It doesn't require a lot of investment. Then does it suit every single organization? I would say it depends. Every organization have its own challenges. Like if we've seen a lot of customers, and funny story, they were doing DevOps without knowing what was DevOps, to give you the maturity of our market. But when they try to achieve like high customer experience profile application and they need to develop it and make it available every 24 hours, they need to have a very quick to run kind of model to go through. We've seen some other organizations that we did not recommend to go with a heavy, I would say, change in the culture with DevOps, because they just had an application and they needed just a software maintenance, so there is no need for DevOps. So it really depends on your business and what you want to achieve.
Perhaps Dorio, perhaps you can pick this up. Has the presence of local data centers increased the appetite, as it were, for DevOps or the agile development cycle? Is that something that perhaps you've seen at Westcon Comstore?
Absolutely. The cloud is the developer's playground. I think we all know that. And it's giving them the flexibility that they need. So agile processes by their design speed up the development process by creating streamlined, templated mechanisms that a team can roll out across multiple projects, as well as streamlining the process itself. When you add the cloud to this, the magic actually happen. As developers now can spin up VMs and environments as they need them. So without being constrained by the IT department and having to wait for space in a data center, which may or may not suit their requirements or have the same security policies baked into the development framework. So absolutely.
All right. So perhaps I just want to follow up there with Dorio. Just with regard to local businesses and kind of looking at DevOps, is it something that they're really considering heavily when it comes to the development cycle?
Yes, it is. So we work from a distribution platform perspective on vendor synergies, so F5 being one of them. So to unpack on that, we try and outbuild and embark on a different kind of a strategy to market. So we work on an OEM vendor synergy strategy, so F5 combined with Azure, for example.
All right. So I guess obviously Westcon is giving us the DISTI perspective. So Mia, perhaps from F5, just as far as local businesses are concerned and kind of bringing DevOps into the development cycle, what are the elements in that regard?
I think there's been very mature this, and a lot of organizations are using DevOps to completely align their business with the cost they have to run the business. So moving into automation and orchestration, they want to have as much OPEX as possible, as much friction between the teams as possible to reduce the soft dollar cost. And this is something where basically DevOps comes into play. I can take an example of a customer that we've helped to create an automated application lifecycle firm. It's really like a firm. They create applications, and they've been able to push delivery applications every 20 minutes versus previously every day. So you imagine the impact that basically this can have on your business. It's really tremendous, and it's increasing the customer experience that basically gonna be impacting your top line revenue. So yes, real use cases, real customers, and we've seen a lot of enhancements in the cost and revenue of organization adopting DevOps.
All right, so you're saying that obviously CX costs are big components of that. Are there any other benefits as far as the agility of the business goes when it comes to DevOps?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the development teams, the collaborational tool that basically can bring into a team to be competitive. This is something that would basically sustain an enterprise. There are some organizations, again, that are taking DevOps to survive in this digital transformation and to be able to basically provide the next generation applications. There is a local bank that used to have a lot of ATMs machines and agencies, and they just created a small company that is completely DevOps and cloud. And it's a zero touch, fully digital, a small bank for young people. But the idea behind it, it's a self-cannibalization where this small organization being able to keep the market share and give basically better services to suit with the customer demand. So it's more than a tool that reduce cost and enhance a little bit the top line. It's a mean to transform, to take your business to the next level.
So Samir, this all sounds very, very complex. Is it something that is complex? I mean, that's like sort of asking how long is a piece of string. I know, because every person is going to be different. But when you have all these different platforms talking to each other, does that not bring in a new sort of complexity that a business might not be expecting?
Yeah. So 2 points here I wanted to maybe spend time on. First is the complexity of DevOps. And yes, there is a perception from the market that DevOps is very complex. I would say just require learning as any other trend or practice. I think the challenge is really to align with the business so that the IT operation can understand what the impact they are having with business and vice versa. The business people to understand the complexity of customer requirements. And as a fact, we see more and more business people that we speak to in the region that are tech savvy, that understand exposing data, data monetization, API. So DevOps is not complex. It requires learning. And once you learn, you're good to go.
Okay.
Second point that I wanted to mention is the different tools and platforms and means people are using to DevOps. This is something also that basically has been very complex, and we've seen customers having multiple tools for the same use. So once they adopt a cloud journey where they have everything at hand, recommendation and expertise from cloud providers and security experts like F5, It can be very simple with very few tools, and then you achieve a complete DevOps developing methodology.
Building off of that, Samir, like we've seen one or two places that offer a "we have everything that you need for DevOps." Is that the right way to go? Is it a good idea to put all of your eggs in one basket, or should you go for multiple different technology partners when you're creating your cloud strategy, your digital strategy, or even pursuing DevOps? Is it more a let's see who has the best solution, or should we just go with the same brand all the time?
Yeah, it's a very funny story that goes with what F5 is doing in terms of strategy toward application that we call adaptive application. Mm-hmm. We see, as a fact, a lot of customers that have, in average, more than 13 different services that is fronting the application.
Oh, wow.
This is your WAF, your load balancer, your application gateway, your API security, and name it. The challenge is, and I'm going to take an example of football here for the football fans. If you want to have the best 11, you could do it. And you remember how Real Madrid, and I'm French and I pay a lot of attention to Zinedine Zidane when he was playing at Real Madrid, they had the best 11 ever, but they didn't have a lot of wins. But if you take the example of Liverpool or Dortmund, they have very good team players, but as a set, it clicks together. And I think the challenge is really to have consolidations in your application services and to have visibility, because the more tools you have that you put together, the more complexity it comes to resolving a problem. And when you migrate to the cloud, this is the right opportunity to start a design by logic, by business outcome. Mm-hmm. What you want to have service repeatability, agility, and security at the front of your applications. When you follow those designs, you're going to end up with a much better architecture than the one customers have been building over years on a reactive mode on data centers.
Fantastic. Dorio, I know this sounds like it flies in the face of what a company such as Westcon Compster should do, but I mean, this is something that your firm has done for a long time, is be platform agnostic and kind of go with advising your clients the best solutions. Do you agree with what Samir is saying here, is looking for the best solution rather than the best brand?
100%. And I think maybe just to add on to that, again, agile DevOps needs to be adaptable. So the same can be said of the idea that DevOps is only for the cloud. It's more than that. And it works very well in complex system designs if you have your processes in place. So I'm aligned with that statement.
Fantastic. That's good to hear. Because, I mean, it is something that we've seen. I mean, like, you have... Just in South Africa alone, we have Azure, we have AWS.
Exactly.
Like, which one do I go with? Which is the best solution? Well, it's not about which is the best company. It's about which is the best solution for you, I think. And I think that's where this complexity comes, is you'll get some folks which might be a little bit more like, no, come to us, we've got the best. And you should just stick with us forever in perpetuity. I like what you guys are saying, that it's kind of something that needs to be looked at. And especially what you said, Samir, is that you need to start to design by logic and what a company needs. I think that is so, so important. A lot of companies see, oh, everybody's moving to the cloud, we should also move to the cloud, and they just follow what Jack and Jill are doing rather than thinking, wait, what does my company need? And I think that kind of segues us nicely into a discussion around the cloud. So we have, I guess there's three, there's the private, public, and then the hybrid cloud model. Although perhaps there's more, I don't know, at the rate the technology changes, is there one that I'm missing out here, guys? Or are those the main three, private, public, and hybrid?
You're good.
You hit it on the nail.
Okay.
Go on, Samir.
You're good with three, actually.
Okay, so my first line of questioning is, a lot of companies might be looking towards a private model, because especially with things like Poppy in effect at the moment, and they might be looking to safeguard their data. Now, because of the name, a lot of people might think that public means that it's just out there exposed for anybody. Perhaps, Samir, I think you might be the best person to touch on this. What are the main identifiers of private, public, and hybrid cloud? Give us like a one-liner as fast as possible, I think.
Well, I think when you have the private cloud, this is basically your data center where you put a lot of automation and orchestration and everything is software. It becomes your own cloud. Then you've got the public cloud. It's a SaaS, a shared model that is put in place by some big names like Azure and AWS, where you have infrastructure and a lot of services that you could use out there. And some customers don't want to choose between everything in-home or everything outdoor, and they choose hybrid. That's what we call hybrid cloud, where they have both instances.
So which is the best way to go? Is it a kind of a mixture of both, or once again, is it just on a case-by-case basis to kind of look at what the client needs, or the business needs rather, and then adapt, and then finding the best solution for that? Is it that sort of case once again?
So it really depends on application. We've done a study with our customers worldwide, and we understand that migration strategies depends on application. So the first step to do is, first of all, to do an audit of your application asset, understanding how many applications you guys are having. And a lot of customers don't know in real time the number of applications. Once you know your application and your segment, and you know what type of data it is, you align with the regulation. And as you said, POCIA regulation that come up in South Africa, what it imposes to have data in country, which means you cannot have access to public cloud that are outdoor of your country.
Yeah.
Then the type of application that would need a lot of services and evolve quickly, it's most likely to be in a public cloud. And you guys in South Africa have now Azure and AWS as an example. So that's basically the different options you have. And you do the same exercise with a different application, and you will find that you're going to end up with maybe between 20 to 50% of your apps in the cloud and the rest on-prem. The most strategic and data sensitive,
yeah,
going to stay on-prem.
Yeah, that would make sense to me, is especially the things where you might not necessarily want to leave them in the hands of someone else. That's not necessarily to say that they're not safe. It's more just a case of, I want to keep control over my data. And I kind of jumped the shark there a little bit. But in the terms of a public cloud, a SaaS model, as you mentioned, is it safe? I think a lot of folks are a little bit worried, but is it safe? And I think I'm kind of leading you on here to say, yes, it's safe. But obviously, as we all think is 100% safe, there are always going to be pitfalls. But is a public cloud a safe solution? Perhaps let's start with Samir, and then we move to Dorio from there.
So very, very spot on question. And that's basically how we do collaborate with cloud providers. Yes, a cloud is safe by design, but the way you put your application and you expose them to customers is basically the door to attacks and breaches. So you need to make sure that your application are designed with security first, and to create a secure cloud architecture. For an example of a customer that has multiple clouds and multiple different tools, it's very complex. So this is why we've been doing a lot of consultancy with our customers to help them design a secure cloud architecture that can be basically streamlining their digital transformation.
Fantastic. Dorio, perhaps you could maybe just elaborate a bit on working with clients and helping them decide. Because, I mean, you guys are the guys that are on the ground here for organizations like F5. You're helping to get the solutions out into the market. So how do you guys approach this when somebody says to you, oh, but I don't want my data in the public cloud? How do you approach something like that?
Yeah, so I think let me first answer the data on the cloud. So data security is a very valuable thing to chat about given implementations of POPIA earlier this month, okay?
Yeah.
But just to go back in terms of the pitfalls and the safety thereof. So if you take public cloud, it can be difficult to contain. And it can be difficult to get your workloads out of it. Where private can create a vacuum and can still be fairly inflexible, okay? From a hybrid perspective, that can be difficult to manage. So you don't have a seamless single cloud management plan to have visibility of both.
Okay. All right. So which is, in your opinion then, Dorio, is probably the best? Or once again, am I asking a trick question here? And it's just a matter of what is best for your business.
Yeah, I think it's in all honesty, that's a bit of a catch-22, because it's really, it boils down to the requirements from an end customer usage perspective. And you'll find sometimes all three are applicable, or maybe just one is applicable.
So how do you work with a business? What are some of the things that you would ask of a company before you start saying, hey, you should go with hybrid or you should go with private? What are just some of the stuff that Westcon Comstore considers?
Yeah, so I think the first starting point is we distribute the solutions into the reseller landscape. Mm. So we've got very highly skilled resellers that then sell on this service and their value add onto the end customers. But from a distribution role perspective, there's software as a service assessments that we conduct together with the vendor and with the reseller.
Oh, fantastic. So then you get a really great picture of what a client needs. So that
exactly.
You can cater to their needs, which is fantastic.
Exactly.
Robin, do you have anything that you'd like to ask?
Yeah, I think it's probably just with regards to what companies are favoring as far as their go-to-cloud strategy goes. Perhaps I want to just shift it back to Samir. Just in terms of your dealings with customers at the moment, are they favoring private, public, or hybrid, just in terms of their cloud strategy?
So what kind of cloud basically customers are migrating? It's again, for the application that are web fronting, it's most likely going to end up with a public cloud. And it depends on the services. We've seen a lot of customers, for example, going for Google Cloud for the advanced machine learning and basically automated services. So when it comes to data monetization, for example, a lot of organizations that are, on the other hand, moving into full digital and making big changes are using AWS. And we see a lot of customers that basically are enterprise ones continuing to work with Microsoft and migrating to Azure. But at the end, it's really like a complex. We saw more and more customers having multiple public cloud on top of the private cloud they're using. So it becomes very, very open as an environment.
Understand. Then perhaps just shifting to Dorio, then are you seeing a similar kind of landscape just as far as your dealings with clients at the moment?
Yes. So from a solutions offering perspective, more leaning towards the public cloud model.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
All right. That's quite interesting. Yeah, because I would assume that hybrid would be perhaps the more
popular,
fashionable option. Yeah.
Yeah, so did I. Mm-hmm. I suppose public has the cost-saving effects behind it. Which does make a degree of sense, especially given this now. So to wrap up, guys, I want to kind of touch on the sticky subject at the moment. Obviously, we're all working, or most of us are now working from home. Places are slowly starting to get up again, but is DevOps, and perhaps maybe just a cloud strategy in general, something that businesses should be considering right now? I know that we're living in unprecedented times and folks might not know what the future of their business holds, but if a business has been toying with the idea of getting into the cloud, maybe exploring DevOps a little bit more deeply, is that something that they should be doing right now? Maybe let's start with Dorio and then we'll move on to Samir from there. So Dorio, do you think that now is the right time to kind of be looking at DevOps? And if so, where's the best place to start?
Well, this will probably come across as contradictory to my last statement. but the hybrid cloud gives you the freedom to do cloud on a budget basis. So the same can be said if you are working with CSP who's helping you to build out private cloud.
Samir, what about yourself?
Yeah. So it really depends, actually. In front of the current situation, we've seen the different reaction from the market. The first one was basically to secure access to your app, and most of applications have been going to cloud as a DR just to make sure that if there is anything happening with the data center with flight not performing as previously, we can have another place where application can basically work. And then we saw more and more customers, as you said, going through a DevOps kind of way of working, because they needed to collaborate, not in one meeting room, the different IT organizations, but digitally. And this is all about DevOps. So as a fact, we saw a lot of government entities developing COVID kind of applications to track people. And, you know, everything was used through DevOps and on a public cloud, even for, you know, this is where you see that basically with regulations that are easing on the countries, public cloud is really like an accelerator for digitalization. And here it really helped and had a huge impact on helping organizations and governments to cope with the COVID-19 outbreak.
Fantastic. That's really that's really great to see. Sorry, Dario, yes, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, and I just think, just to add on to that, if you're speaking to the merits of each, hybrid, obviously, hybrid cloud has won the debate. But you decide where you place your workloads and you decide where you invest your CapEx.
Well, I think that's ultimately what the answer boils down to, isn't it? Is that you need to speak to someone like yourselves, Westcon Comstore, to kind of find what is the best solution. Because at the rate that technology changes, it's very difficult for a business owner to be able to keep up with that, keep up with the books, keep up with staff, keep up with salaries, keep up with changing government regulation. It's just a lot to deal with. And I think having a trusted partner such as yourselves goes a long way to kind of help address some of the issues that a business might have. They might even not know that they have them, for instance.
Exactly.
So thanks so much, guys. I really wanted to just say thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We learned a lot. I have a better understanding of what DevOps is, and perhaps consider maybe not telling my friends to go with a private cloud and maybe consider going with a hybrid model. But of course, I'm not the expert. That's why we bring these folks on. So Dario Bowles, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And then Samir Sahil, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate on and sharing your expertise with us.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you all.
Thank you, guys. Have a fantastic day. And we'll have links to all of F5's and Westcon Comstore's websites at the bottom of this post, as always. Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. Companies looking to deploy applications in multi-cloud environments are always concerned about security. Trying to do so consistently while remaining compliant and factoring in the architecture of different cloud environments can be a thing of nightmares. But not with F5 Secure Cloud Architecture from Westcon Comstore, a security framework built for businesses that embraces multi-cloud security. Secures apps and DevOps environments, this is the perfect security solution for an evolving business. A secure cloud is an F5 cloud. Awesome stuff from Dario and Samir there. Thank you so much for joining us, folks. It was a really eye-opening conversation. I learned a lot, mostly because I didn't know exactly what DevOps was. So it was nice to get a bit of a lesson. So we will have links to F5 and Westcon Comstore's offerings at the bottom of this post. Check them out if you are looking to get into cloud. But that's going to do it from us for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Next week, we will be back. Thank you so much, Clinton Masters, for joining me.
It's a pleasure. See you, everyone.
And to Robin Chetty, thank you so much for joining me as well.
Yeah, pleasure as always.
And we will see you guys all next week. Cheerio.
Bye. Cheers.